All right, everybody, welcome back. Socially Connected 360, episode 28 is here. We have none other than the cycle jockey, a category 2 USAC cyclist. And I'm telling you right now, this is an exciting show for me because many of you know I love cycling. We have Chad Tarvania is in the house. Hashtag Chad, Mr. Selfie himself on the bike, doing centuries every day, starting now. All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360, number 28 is in the house. Like I said in the pre-show, I'm excited about this podcast because many of you know I enjoy cycling, not to the extent that my guest does, but we have the cycle jockey is on our show and we're so honored to have him on. He's a USAC category 2 cyclist. To name, you know, just one thing that you know, he's obviously accomplished on that level. And we're excited to have you on. Chad Tarvania, how's everything, man? How's life? How's the retired cycling life?
So far, it's going great. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast. You know, like you said, I actually, you know, I just finished up a 20-year career with the New York State Police here in New York, and I retired in January and have been pretty much, you know, I mean, I've been cycling heavy for the last, you know, 6 years, but you know, now that I am retired, you know, from my career, yeah, I'm going to be, full guns blazing into cycling and, just trying to enjoy the, you know, what I've got left on this earth.
Absolutely, man. And we see it, you know, a lot of us on all the group pages, you know, we follow you on the Cycle Jockey page. So folks, if you don't know the Cycle Jockey Facebook page, follow him. We're going to talk about the podcast. He started a podcast. So this is all great for us cyclists because we get to learn from you and you love to share and then the positive stuff as well. So it's great. Congratulations on the retirement. And we also have that in common. So we have cycling and I'm also in law enforcement as well, and I'm working on that retirement too, so congratulations on that. And obviously now you have 7-8 hours a day to really go at it. But so tell us about your life growing up. You know, were you into bikes? Tell us a little bit about that if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a very small town here in the New York Adirondacks. It's a little town called Malone. I'm about 8 miles from the Canadian border, so I'm way up north. And you know, I mean, I'm born and raised in Malone. You know, just kind of grew up locally. You know, went to high school, you know, locally as well. Went to college. Like I said, I mean, I went to college, you know, to pursue my career in law enforcement. And I was very fortunate to get into law enforcement pretty much right after turning 21. In fact, the kind of interesting story is when I went into the New York State Police Academy, I was actually the youngest guy in the state when I went in. So, I mean, as far as timing, like it probably really couldn't have timed out any better for me because I just had my 41st birthday last December. Mm. So, you know, I like to think pretty young in life. And I'm excited to, you know, start the, you know, the next chapter of life.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I tell you what, man, what we see, and folks, let me tell you, if you haven't followed the cycle jockey, right? I'm getting it right. Right. I'm getting the cycle. Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't followed this page, you got to see, I mean, if you are a cyclist, if you're a runner, if you're an athlete, the level of motivation you're going to get from Chad is just, it's unbelievable. The numbers are unbelievable. We're going to get into that. So, but how did you get into, take us back to, how did you get into cycling? Like, maybe take us back to that moment where you picked up a bike or how did that turn out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to follow up on that, when I played sports in high school and I ran cross country and track. So I kind of always had, you know, that endurance, you know, athletics background. And, you know, I ran, you know, track cross country for 3 seasons and then kind of, you know, I kind of lost connection with it, you know, cause I had to, you know, get a job and start working and all that good stuff, you know, and then life happened. And like I said, I got my career, you know, in law enforcement. So just, you know, a lot of years went by and I really was kind of out of the, the exercise fitness game. And it really wasn't until, I mean, I was like probably in my mid 30s when I actually, you know, started to get back into, you know, into riding. And it really just started out, you know, with, you know, your, you know, with your typical New Year's resolution. I just said, you know, I'm going to get a exercise bike and a treadmill, because I noticed I started to, you know, put a few pounds on, you know, and so it really kind of started out with just wanting to, you know, generally get back into more exercising. And when I got my exercise bike, I really enjoyed riding that thing, you know, even though it was just, you know, inside here in my living room. And then the following summer, I got, you know, I just started out with an aluminum, you know, with an aluminum road bike, and it just kind of snowballed from there. And over the years, you know, I've just, you know, I've upgraded my bicycles, and I've just, I've kept riding, and I started doing a little bit of, I started doing a little bit of racing back in 2012. And so it's really just kind of been really an accumulate. It's kind of been building slowly over the last, you know, really 6-7 years.
I mean, I can tell you, I call you Mr. Century. A lot of us just want to do a century for like just one time a year. I see you do these like 5 times a week. It's just amazing. And for those of you that are watching this, you don't know what a century is. I mean, it's, there's two things, right? You could do in kilometers. It's a century, but in miles, we would, the way you're doing it, it's in miles. So it's 100, 120 miles, 100 miles. I mean, it's just insane. The numbers are phenomenal. So let's get into that. So distance riding, were you racing distance? Were you racing crits, or were you racing everything, or were you just trying a little bit of everything? How did that work out?
Well, I mean, generally I was getting into road racing in general. So, and I, you know, my first race, you know, it was actually, it was a Criterium, up in Saranac Lake. And I actually, I don't personally enjoy Criterium racing as much as I do the longer road races, because, you know, I mean, I'm a very small statured guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 125 pounds soaking wet. So, you know, it really doesn't suit, you know, the Criterium racing doesn't really suit my body type. And I actually got pulled in my first ever, you know, Criterium race. But so I, so that was my first endeavor into racing. But, you know, since then I've really kind of steered more towards a longer, like I said, endurance road racing, where I had a lot, you know, where I just kind of fit in better in that element.
I mean, well, damn. I mean, I see it every, I see it every day, because we follow each other, and it's just like on Strava, whether it's on Facebook, so on all the groups. I mean, it's just amazing the numbers that you're putting up. And I did my first Criterium. I was pulled too. I kind of messed up, but I was going to get pulled anyways. I mean, those guys are just, it's even category 5 and 4, man. Those guys are moving pretty fast. So, and it's just straight gas.
Criterium racing is really its own animal, really. It takes a lot of dynamic fitness to do well in Criterium racing, because there's a lot of surging and then easing up, surging, easing up. And, you know, you really got to almost kind of train for those. I've found that if you want to do well in Criteriums, it's good to train, you know, for those. You know, I personally, you know, like you said, I'm geared a lot more towards the longer distance stuff, but, you know, for anybody that wanted to do, you know, Criteriums, because they are more popular, you know, a lot of your towns and cities will have, you know, Criterium races, but it's certainly something that you want to specifically train for, because it is, you're using whole different energy systems in that kind of racing.
And so when you get into these, like your daily rides now. So now you're retired. You're just getting into these rides. Do you say you're going to do over 100 miles, or you just go out there and ride?
Well, I mean, honestly, when I go out, the way that I kind of formulate my rides from the get-go is, you know, cause I like to chase Strava segments, you know, I mean, a lot of us, you know, are on Strava nowadays. And for anybody who's not familiar, basically Strava will, you know, will GPS, you know, time you through different, you know, it's called a segment that people can create on Strava. And, you know, so I like to go after those here in my local area. And so the way I kind of put my rides together is, you know, I'll look at, you know, the weather for the day and see which way the wind's blowing, stuff like that. And I'll kind of, you know, pick out 2 or 3 that I want to go after, and I'll build, you know, the endurance ride around those. And I'll try to, you know, spread them out to where, you know, I'm doing a, you know, a real hard segment effort, you know, maybe, you know, once every, you know, 20, 30 miles, you know, giving myself time to get over that hard effort, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, in general, I do like to, you know, do, you know, if I'm gonna, you know, go riding, you know, I will most likely plan to go over 100 or awfully close to it most days.
Oh man, it's amazing. It's just amazing. I can tell you that, you know, I haven't got to 100 miles. I of course, you know, we can get there, but it's just my longest ride is 60 miles, and I did it up in what is it, Route 7, I think it's called, or what is it, and right there by the George Washington Bridge, in Jersey, over by New
Okay.
York.
Yeah.
So I did about 40 some miles there, and then I crossed over the bridge and went down to Central Park. And I can tell you when I got back, and of course, you know, I've been only been riding for a short time, so not unlike you, you know, you've been at this for 10 or 10 years or so. So tell us about your best cycling moment. I know you've had a probably had a lot, maybe, I'm not sure. You've ridden a lot, you've done a lot. What would you consider your best cycling moment?
You know, as far as performance, you know, I would have to say it was two different performances, but one weekend. Back in 2019, you know, I was coming off a winter of, you know, a lot of indoor training, which I do a lot of also here because I live in the Adirondacks of New York, and we get brutal winters up here. So I also do a lot of indoor cycling all winter long to kind of stay in, you know, to stay in good shape. And so I came into the spring really, you know, really strong that year back in 2019. And it's the first Friday in June. There's a local race here near me called the Whiteface Mountain Uphill Bike Race, which basically is, for anybody not familiar, you know, Whiteface Mountain is 8 miles at about 8% average gradient. And every first Friday in June, you know, locally they'll have a bicycle race up it. And, you know, every year there's usually anywhere from, say, 250 to 400 riders that come here from really kind of all over the country to do that, you know, to do that mountain. So, but back in 2019, I was fortunate enough, and I was able to win that race, which I kind of always wanted to do, you know, is to, you know, win a big mountain race like that. And then I was actually able to follow that up 2 days later, down in Canandaigua, New York, and I was able to win the New York State Elite Road Race Championships. So, I mean, that without question was probably my best weekend ever of bike racing. I mean, you know, to win, you know, two pretty big, you know, state level races like that in the same weekend, you know, probably something I'll never, you know, be able to top. But I'll keep trying, obviously, but.
So anything lined up now as far as racing?
You know, it's and you mentioned COVID earlier, and it's kind of funny because, you know, obviously, you know, I was racing heavy, you know, through 2019, and then, you know, said, you know, COVID ha all happened, and all, of course, all bike races, everything got canceled, you know, for pretty much a couple of years. And I have not actually done a race. Well, actually, I think I did do one race last year. I did the Capital Region Road Race down by Albany last year, in the category 1-2 field. But that's been the only race that I've done pretty much since COVID. You know, I mean, I do have plans to, you know, to get back into road racing. In fact, now I actually would be able to qualify for the men's 40 plus, you know, category. So I'll probably will get into, you know, to get into some 40 plus racing here in the next 2 years, I'm sure.
I mean, what you're doing now, your level of training is, you're dedicating a lot, you know, your time that you probably dedicated to work now to do what you love to do. And it's just it's an amazing thing to see. So especially for a cyclist, anybody who's an athlete, I mean, when you follow, this is why I tell folks all the time, when you follow folks who inspire you, you know, and I don't want to say follow, like, you know, just, you know, encourage each other, you know, and connect, right? And you'll get inspired. You know, when I see your stuff, I'm like, well, I love getting on the bike regardless, you know, after work or even in the morning at 5 a.m. But when I see you putting up the numbers that you're putting up, it just motivates us. So keep doing that. So you said, you mentioned, you know, you got a couple bikes. Of course, us cyclists have a couple bikes, plus six or whatever. I don't even know now. But what's your favorite bike now? I see you ride a Felt, but what would you consider your best distance bike? Most
Yeah,
comfortable.
I've got two right now. I mean, I've got two right now that I really love. And like, you know, like I mentioned, right now I've been riding I got a Felt AR, which is Felt, aero framed, road bicycle. I've been riding that one pretty much all summer long. But I also have a Cannondale Super 6 Evo, which is more of a climbing giant, geometry, bicycle. It, for me, it really would be a toss up between those two bikes. I guess depending on the day, I guess if I was doing, if I was doing a straight mountain climb like Whiteface Mountain, I probably would take the, I'd probably take the Cannondale because it's, probably a pound lighter and, just kind of more of that climbing geometry. But if I'm going to do, a fast, some fast riding, I'm probably going to want my felt, cause it is that aerodynamic frame. And it, I do notice just that little increased speed, being on the aero frame, for sure.
Yeah. And so if somebody's getting into cycling, and they're trying to get a bike, everybody wants to get like the newest and greatest thing. And of course I know my answer of what I would tell them, but what, what would you tell them, as far as if, you're getting into cycling, you want to get into this and they're trying to get a bike and bikes are, some bikes are extremely expensive, obviously. What would you tell them?
Yeah. Like you mentioned, but bikes are expensive these days. My best recommendation for that person that's, like I said, just getting into cycling would be get something in an aluminum frame that's going to be sturdy, dependable, and make sure that you take the time, whether it be, at the bike shop or if you have access in your area, get with a fitter, but you really want to make sure that that bicycle fits you properly. That's probably the biggest mistake I think a lot of, especially new cyclists make, is their bicycles don't fit them the way they really should. And that manifests in so many, that manifests into so many other problems. And, like a lot of people, like you mentioned, cause I do ride, a lot of miles, and I've had people, ask me like, how do you do so many miles, day after day after day? Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's because I just love to ride.
Yeah.
But, secondly, I've really taken the time over the years, to really hone in my fits and, my bicycles, they fit me like a glove. And so when I go out and ride 7-8 hours, it really doesn't beat my body up too much because my bike fits me pretty much perfectly, I think. So I think fit is a often not talked about enough facet when it comes to, especially road cycling. When it comes to road cycling, you really need to have your fit dialed in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great advice. I mean, I could tell you that, obviously not having your experience and we all have gone through those issues, right? We've seen a bike we like, and we, it's a size up or two sizes up and you don't even realize it. You don't know what you're studying. You'd learn, you make mistakes, but that is true. And then obviously, you lose the wattage power, you, your back hurts, your wrists start hurting, your hands get numb, all those things. When you're, and especially if you're trying to do distance riding, in any type of riding, I mean, that's just gonna, it's gonna slow you down and obviously it's gonna hurt and you could probably hurt yourself, so training, this is a question that, I wanted to ask you because, obviously you've, New York State champ, and then obviously, doing the type of racing that you're doing and the riding that you're doing, you do a lot of training. So training to win or training to get better, what are your thoughts on that? Do you do both? Or,
honestly, the way that I train is my primary focus in every ride that I go on is to just have fun. And what I've always found is if you're having fun on the bike, you're going to ride better on the bike. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, anybody who does take the time to, to follow me on Strava or look at my Strava rides will see that I don't really do any, structured workouts. Like, like a lot of people do like set intervals, 5 minutes on, 4 minutes off. I don't really do any of that stuff because that takes away from my personal enjoyment on the bike. Mm-hmm. So in my riding, everything begins and ends with having fun. Then for, for me, the rest of it just kind of snowballs. Like if I'm having fun and I'm riding for 7 hours and I'm doing that, most of the year, I'm going to, just kind of by happen chance, I'm probably going to have decent fitness. Mm. So I really don't stress, too much about, putting together, strategics, special workouts. I, like I said, I focus more on having fun and enjoying my time on the bike. And one premise that I do follow pretty strictly is I do believe in what's called polarized training, which basically means, you know, that I could spend, an hour talking about this, but
That's
to do
great.
it to,
Thank
but
you.
to do it briefly, the basic concept of polarized training is that the vast majority of your time on the bike, and we'll just, use like an estimated 80% of your time, is done at just, in a sustainable endurance level pace, a pace that you can do all day long. And then I'll have moments in that time frame, which again, which I mentioned earlier, are those Strava segments. When I'm going after a Strava segment, that is pretty much just absolute full effort, for whatever that segment might be. Sometimes it's a mile, sometimes it's 5 miles, sometimes it might be a half a mile. Depending on the segment, it can vary, but the general concept is when I'm going really, really, really hard, I'm chasing one of these segments. And if I'm not chasing a segment, I'm really just kind of riding at a sustainable level that I could, ride all day long. And so that would be probably the biggest takeaway that I could probably try to, share with others is focus on enjoying your rides. 'Cause if you're not having fun out there, you're not going to want to do it. So focus on fun and, think about polarizing your miles where you're either riding sustainable endurance or you're riding really, really, really hard. Because a lot of people will fall into the trap of just kind of riding hard, like semi-hard all of the time. So because they're riding semi-hard all of the time, they don't have the energy reserves to really ride hard when they need to. So I mean, and you always hear that, training is an art, and I fully believe that, like taking the time to learn, how your body, reacts, to different gradients and different, wind in your face and just, to different miles. Like say, because the way your body feels at mile 50 is different than how it feels at mile 10
Oh,
and at mile
absolutely.
100, same thing. So trying to, learn your body over time is another thing that I think is key. But, I think having fun really is the beginning of everything for me. If I'm not having fun out there, what am I doing?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting because as you get into this world, so I tell folks all the time, whatever it is, like my previous guest, episode 27, she's a boxing coach. And we talked about it in that episode. You get into this world, you learn, you meet folks, and you basically learn, and they're willing to give you, some of their knowledge, and it's just great. And I just talked to a friend of mine whose wife was I think she was 12-time Argentina, like a cycling champion as far as like the velodrome type cycling. And he told me the same thing. He's like, get on the smaller ring in the front and just ride. Feel good. We don't have to kill it every time, And so, and we rode, I think it was like 30 miles or something. And we literally rode for 30 miles and didn't even feel like it. And we had a great time. We had a great conversation during the ride. And it was just great. It was a great feeling. And then of course, obviously, like you said, switch it up, go at it, but great advice, something that I needed to hear as well as a cyclist. I mean, I kind of want to kill it every time. And I want to take it to the next level, but I've been doing some of that just moderate stuff, and as well, I'm 42, so we kind of almost the same age as well. So, I'm kind of being careful, and obviously I'm using it for my health as well. So you talked about approaching competition, so we kind of touched on that. What's your longest ride? I know folks are probably curious about that. What's your longest ride ever?
Actually every the last five well I actually I think this year will be number five, but the previous 4 years, myself and a good friend of mine who also kind of rides not quite as crazy miles as I do, but pretty close to it, the last 4 years, and we plan on doing it again this year, we have done a 200 mile ride around Lake Champlain, that we've done the last 4 summers. In fact, actually last year, because one of the roads was being torn up, by construction, we had to actually deviate like a little loop around. It ended up being 212 miles last year.
Oh, jeez.
And that's with, I think it ends up being like around 9,000 feet of climbing with it. So
Wow.
it's a pretty serious ride. Like I said, we've done it the last 4 years. We plan on doing it again this year. In fact, we've kind of made it like our little annual thing. The two of us, One of the years, one of our other, friends came along with us. So we had three that one year, but other than that, it's been me and my buddy Scott do that ride. So yeah, so 212, I guess, would be the answer in one day.
Wow. Favorite place to ride?
Favorite place to ride, is, and if you'd asked me this 6 months ago, I'd have given you a different answer. But I spent some time last winter in Arizona and in Florida riding. And of course, I said, like I said, I'm a lifelong resident of the New York Adirondacks, and
Yeah.
I've certainly come to realize that when it comes to beautiful roads, low traffic, quality pavement, good wide cycling shoulders,
Yeah.
I've been telling people in my from what I've seen, no place can beat the New York Adirondacks come
Yeah.
summertime. It is beautiful up here to ride bicycles.
Yeah, I gotta head up there, man. It's pretty amazing.
I could show you a good time for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll connect, but I don't know if I can hang with you. I'll hang with you for the first 30, and then yeah, we'll see what happens. But that's great. So, Chad life. We gotta talk about this because it's a phenomenon that's just taken off. So we have hashtag Chad life. Obviously, I'm a selfie person as well. But how did that come about? Did that just just spin out of control, like in a good way, not in a bad way, folks. It's hashtag Chad life, and I'll let Chad explain.
Well, it's kind of funny, like you mentioned, I started an athlete Facebook page, probably 3 4 years ago now, called Cycle Jockey. And I kind of use that as a place where I could, share my riding stuff, because I didn't want to just, overly excessively spam all of my, regular Facebook friends with just cycling
Exactly.
stuff nonstop. So I started an athlete page that ended up naming Cycle Jockey as a place to share my photos and stuff. And of course, I'm pretty much a solo rider. I mean, at least 99% of the time. So, I mean, your really only options while you're riding a bicycle to take a picture is to pretty much take a selfie, and to try to find new ways to do that. So, and you know, last, I mean, then, and you mentioned the solitary cycling page a little bit ago. And, I also, share in that group. And I don't know, like, some people there just started like noticing my rides and the, I guess they say, interesting photos. And next thing you know, like there was hundreds of people like posting and like talking about trying to do a Chad like selfie on the bike. And like I say, it's just kind of snowballed into this thing that I don't even really know how it started,
I mean, that's what I did it. I loved it because obviously, it's one of those things. The selfie for me is something that obviously it's this generation's whatever, but it's something that I think it's good. I think it inspires folks. It's just great. The angles. I mean, folks are even trying to figure out how you were doing those angles. They got Google phones or something, but yes,
Well,
that's, yeah.
I can tell you that when you're out on a 129 mile bike ride, there's a lot of times you kind of run out of things to think about. And
Yeah.
sometimes you think about, okay, how can I get a new angle here as far as a selfie or trying to get a cool photo while I'm riding,
And I bet the brands love it, man, if they get a hold of those. But that's awesome, man. So Cycle Jockey, that's your page. Cycle Jockey. I see, this is why I love having these podcasts. So where does Cycle Jockey come from? Where does that name come from?
You know what? I was actually ho I was kind of thinking you were going to ask me that question, and I was it's kind of funny because I wish I could take credit for the name, but I really can't. A good friend of mine who lives downstate actually came up with the name. We were just talking one day, and for obviously we were talking about cycling, and I told him how I wanted to start, an athlete page, and I didn't really know what I was going to call it or couldn't think of a good name to call it. And he just basically came out and said, "We should call it Cycle Jockey." He says, "You're like a little horse jockey, except you ride bikes." And I
Great.
thought about it and I was like, gosh, you know what? I actually like that. And so I just kind of rolled with it and, just kind of always kept it going.
Very cool. Very cool. So on top of that, you also have a podcast now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I actually just started it like a week ago. I'm only a couple of episodes in, but I did start a podcast because, obviously I like sharing, details of my rides, but there's only so much you can share in a quick, Facebook post or Instagram post or whatnot. So I thought that, having my own podcast would be a great way to get more in depth with sharing details about my rides and my thought process about training and all this stuff. So I did start a podcast called the Cycle Jockey Podcast. Kept it, kind of simple, off my athlete page name. And so if anybody, wanted to, tune into my podcast there, I plan on sharing, at least, one episode a week, hopefully more. As I, think of topics that I want to talk about and stuff. And I would like to maybe expand it down the road to, to have, guests on, kind of like you're doing here now. And
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. So folks, we're going to share that link to Cycle Jockey Podcast. We're also going to share the Facebook page. This is something that's exciting for me because obviously, like I said, as a fellow cyclist, we all look up to you. And it's something that, we got to just keep sharing, have these conversations. And then I learn all the time. So, obviously, and from folks that I interview, and talk to. And so I'm sure your podcast is going to take off. And we're definitely going to tune into that. So this is a question that I asked. I only have a couple more questions. I asked all my guests, and it's something that when I was 19, I struggled a lot. Humble beginnings, just education, just, a lot of struggle. And something that, so I asked my guests, if you could tell yourself or give yourself some advice, knowing everything you know now, to your 19-year-old self, what would it be?
yeah, and I actually spent some time on my ride today thinking about this because I knew you were going to ask me this question. And I mean, I won't lie. I mean, I don't have any regrets in life, because obviously it put me where I'm at today, which I'm happy about. But everybody I think thinks about that question of if I had the if I had the knowledge I have today and could go back to whatever time frame, in this case, that 19-year-old self. I think the one thing I would tell myself is, at the end of the day, focus on happiness and have that be your driving force for whatever it is you want to do in life. But at the end of the day, if you don't have happiness, you're missing the true gold, I think. So, I think a lot of people, these days, and I was, probably as guilty as anybody, gets kind of roped into, chasing, the money and chasing the, materialistic type things. And as I've gotten older myself, I've certainly have gotten more in touch with that, happiness is really the true wealth. And that would be the biggest advice that I wish I kind of knew back at that age, that at the end of the day, happiness is really what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why I asked the question because it's different every time. And it's so true, man. As we get older, and this is why it's important because now, there's going to be a 19-year-old kid that's going to listen to this, and maybe get into cycling and maybe that brings them happiness, and so I wish I was 19 and got on a bike. I mean, of course we all had our bikes as kids, BMX and Harrell Masters and GTs and all that stuff. But yeah, that happiness is what it is, and appreciate that answer. So real quick, two more questions. So you're riding a lot inside. Can you
Yes.
just give us a little insight? I know you do those races, and I'm looking at like is it Zwift, right? Where you're doing Zwift race.
Yeah, Zwift has certainly been a game changer for myself personally when it comes to indoor riding, because the platform of Zwift, which basically for anybody listening who doesn't know, Zwift is really nothing more essentially than a cycling video game that you play by your fitness and not with a control paddle. So it's really, I find it really engaging. And I actually train on rollers myself, which is basically just a contraption that you put your actual bicycle on that's not affixed to anything in pretty much the inertia. It's basically like a treadmill for a bicycle.
Yeah, you got to balance.
And basically the inertia of you riding and pedaling is what keeps you upright. It's kind of interesting. I mean, they are tricky to learn. I mean, I've gotten a lot of questions about rollers over the last few years. And even myself, when I first started getting out, first got on them, I fell over and the whole nine yards. But I've always told everybody, I think rollers personally are the best indoor training platform. And if you and it's not really if, but when when you get good on them, you'll never go back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I could imagine, I don't have rollers, but I have just a basic trainer. I know that they sell, I think Wahoo and a lot of other brands, they sell the connect. You can connect your bike to the rear, to their rear cassette, right?
Yes. A smart trainer. Yep.
Yeah. The smart trainers. So,
yep. And I do have one of those that I keep as a backup because I actually, you know, every now and then we'll have an issue with my rollers. And just so I'm not like, if it's in the wintertime and my rollers, you know, break, I don't want to be stuck for a couple of weeks without being able to ride. So I do keep a trainer here as a backup that I do have to use occasionally, but whenever I have the option, I'm personally a roller guy and likely always will be because I love the way the rollers feel when I'm riding. It really, for me, it feels just like I'm outside riding. You know, I'll often ride 3-4 hours on my rollers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I could imagine that the, you have to stabilize yourself. You have to balance yourself. So that within itself, those muscles are being worked as well.
Yeah. I mean, rollers is really kind of, it's just kind of, I mean, it really is like an all body work, like a whole body workout when you're riding. So like I say, there is an element of balancing on those as well. Yes.
Yeah. 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 So that's cool. Well, I mean, thank you so much for coming on the show. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, if they real quick, I forgot to ask this question. Are you training anyone now? Are you into training folks or maybe some online training? Maybe are you going to get into something like that maybe in the future? Or is that something that you've done or just riding and doing your podcast?
Well, you know what? I mean, now that I am, you know, retired from my, you know, from my career as a police officer, I, you know, there's no question that, you know, physical fitness is my passion. And I certainly am interested in the notion of getting into endurance coaching. You know, I mean, as far as a time frame on that, I don't really have one, but it's certainly something that I have interest in doing. But you know, I'll have to have more time play out before, you know, I see if that's something that I really get into as far as like maybe trying to make another source of income out of, you know?
Oh yeah. I think you'd be great at it. I think you'd
I certainly have interest in it for sure. And it's like, say, I mean, I find that I spend a lot of my personal time, you know, studying, you know, training principles and stuff, you know, just for my own personal, you know, training, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I'm always kind of, you know, looking for the, you know, for more knowledge of, you know, how to increase, you know, my skill set on the bike and how to, you know, refine, you know, the art of training for sure.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So if somebody want to get in contact with you, how would they reach you?
Well, I think the best two ways, you know, to do that would be either my athlete Facebook page, you know, called Cycle Jockey, or to give me a follow on Strava. You know, you can communicate with me on there. And on Strava, I just go by my name, Chad Taverny, and that's with an NIA at the end. So if anybody wanted to, you know, shoot me a follow on Strava, they could do that.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. You know, it's always an honor, you know, obviously I've been following you for, you know, this year or so and just seeing all the miles. Stay safe out there and, you know, keep riding and doing those 100 miles every day. It's amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show, man.
Yes, you too, Louise. And like I said, you know, stay safe out there in the bike, stay safe in your career as well. And, I'll look forward to seeing you, you know, sharing your rides also.
Yeah, no doubt.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll definitely, we'll get up one day and we'll just ride for fun or something. We'll do something.
Like I said, anytime you want to come to the New York Adirondacks, I could show you some really good routes.
Awesome. All right, folks, that's number 28. Like I always say, stay connected.